Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Steve McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And tell the show, we've got another Case Study Sunday, and we are so pleased to be joined remotely from Auckland by Helena and Harish. Welcome along to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
And I love, Harish, that you're sitting on the side of the road in your car between meetings, and I appreciate it because this show is about real people who have real jobs and also invest in property. So that's awesome. Now, give us a bit of a snapshot. Just before we hit record, Harish, you were telling us about how you came to learn about the Property Academy podcast. You know, how long have you been listening to the show for?
It goes back probably 4 or 5 years now. So just got into it from trying to see what's out there. We had bought our property and sort of been sitting on quite a bit of equity. And Helena being quite risk averse from an investment point of view, property seemed like a safe step for us to go into together. And so that's when we started listening.
And Helena, you were risk averse. Why was that? What had caused that kind of personality trait?
I suppose my parents did all the right, so-called right things. So they, you know, bought their house before they had kids, worked really hard, paid off the mortgage, saved everything, no credit cards, you know, you saved something before you bought it. So that was kind of where I was coming from. I hadn't yet stumbled across the difference between good debt and bad debt and how you can make equity work for you in your house and that kind of thing. So it's been a long process for me to get here, but I'm glad I'm here.
And what steps did you two take as a couple to get on the same page?
I think it started with Harish playing your podcast while we were in the car together, so I couldn't actually get away from it. But it got me interested, right? And so then I started listening to your podcasts by myself, and that's kind of where it all began, I think.
Yeah, but also communication was a big part. I had a busy career, and in my head, the only way I was going to get to retirement or have more time was to go up the career ladder, and that was taking me away from what I wanted, which was our goal to have more time with the family, right? So being able to have that communication of saying, okay, what do we want to do? How do we want to get there? And what are the steps involved with us? And so plotting those things out, but really talking to each other about what we wanted to achieve in our life with us, with kids, and then post-kids as well.
And it's really important there, what you guys were saying, if you're trying to get your partner on the same page, you've got to start reading, listening, and watching the same things, because that's how you get onto the same page. Often it's very difficult for one partner to convince the other one to do anything at all. Believe me, I know. And it doesn't have to be our podcast. It doesn't have to be our book, right? It just has to be the same thing for whatever you're trying to convince your partner of. Now, you guys became property investors in 2021. What made you say, you know what, this is the right time for us to take the plunge?
We have luckily to have equity in our house. So we brought our own home in 2012 in Auckland. And so it had increased greatly in value since then. So having that was really helpful. But also Harish had reached out, I think, to Maxine, who works with you guys, and spent quite a bit of time talking to her and doing the spreadsheets to see whether it was viable with, okay, yeah, we had the equity, but could we afford the top-ups? If interest rates increase, can we still afford the top-ups and that kind of thing? And then it was just pretty much, we were like, well, we're not getting any younger. I mean, we're not particularly old, but obviously time helps in the market as well. So no time like the present, I think. And we just come out of COVID. Yeah.
And buying in July 2021, prices were pretty good. Interest rates were very good. Was the property finished, or was that one that you're buying off plans? And then did it work out to be the same interest rate at completion?
Yeah, so it was off plans. And so the property didn't settle into September of the following year. So interest rates had increased, not to the levels that they're at today. So it did require a top up, but we kind of knew that before we signed the agreement. So yeah, interest rates had increased.
Now, Harish, before we hit record, you were saying that you were creating your own spreadsheets to test, oh, I wonder what will happen to interest rates and, you know, what will the numbers look like on my property if interest rates do go up? So if I take you back to 2021-ish, how high did you think interest rates might go? What did you test those interest rates at?
I think it was times maybe 2, 2.5, and just knowing what it had done with our own property when we first bought it, I think it was around 8% when we bought it, and it dropped down to, you know, 3. So knowing that over a 10-year period, that's, you know, kind of the variation that we could be through in the next 10 or 15 years for the property.
That's interesting. So even though the interest rate at the time was 2.5%, you were plugging in, oh, wonder what happens if it goes to 8%?
Yeah, just again, just to give, I guess, to give Helena that peace of mind as well, knowing that she was a bit hesitant on it, making sure that I built enough buffer in it and we weren't going to be, you know, skimming it if things did turn quite bad.
And so, of course, you had an interest rate that ended up being higher than what you'd originally planned for, but way lower than your worst case scenario. So that gave you a bit more confidence. And then you bought investment property number 2, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. So we signed an agreement in April 2022.
And how did that one go?
It was a little bit more curly, I think. So it didn't settle until the following September, so September 2023. Obviously, house prices dropped and interest rates increased dramatically. And so one of the things we kind of stumbled across was you get a valuation done on the property and it was actually worth 60K less than what we had paid for it. So there was a bit of an issue with the bank and how much they would cover. But luckily, Harry had given me the wealth plan book for Christmas. So we had learned all about split banking. So we were already having that conversation with our broker. And so we were really lucky that it worked out with the banks. So we had a certain amount with one bank and then the other bank topped it up. So, yeah, we were lucky.
So if I just understand you correctly, because you'd split bank, you were able to tap into your equity in your house a little bit more to bridge that gap when you had to pay 60 grand more than what the valuation was and therefore the second bank had reduced your lending. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And how did you feel? Because, Helena, you're risk adverse. Now you're grumpy at your husband. How did you guys get through that as a couple?
Have you kicked him out into the car? Is that why he's there? He's not actually at work. He's living there.
I can see his pillow.
So it was a bit of a shock. But having said that, I'd also got a job in that time. So having that extra income also gave us extra buffer. And it wasn't ideal, obviously, but you know, we're on this for the long haul. It's not supposed to be a short-term thing. And like we've seen in the years that we've owned our own property, there's peaks and troughs and that kind of thing. So we were just like, well, we're in a trough. What's it going to be like when we hit a peak? So yeah, but having that extra income did take the pressure off.
And so what have you guys invested in? Where are these properties? What sort of properties are they?
So our first investment property is down in Christchurch. So it's a two-bedroom townhouse with a garage. And our second one is in Glen Eden, and it's a two-bedroom townhouse with a car park.
Okay, so one in Christchurch, one in Auckland, because Glen Eden's in Auckland, and you guys are based out in West Auckland as well, eh?
Yeah, we are.
And so how did you guys decide, or what was it like investing in Christchurch when you guys live in Auckland?
It's not something that I would have done if we hadn't had the likes of Maxine walking us through the process and giving us the different options. It definitely made it a heck of a lot easier. But also, I've got family in Christchurch, so we did nick down to check out the property before final settlement, which was, I suppose, it just took away that extra concern that I had about not being able to see the property.
And one of the big things is you guys are investing for the long term, you mentioned before. So I want you to fast forward kind of the next 20 years. What sort of life is it that you're wanting to create to be able to live at that stage? And why, essentially, are you doing this?
I would say we're doing it so that we've got enough money to have the freedom to choose what we want to do. So we're not reliant on KiwiSaver or our children, so that we can travel. And that also, so, you know, to a certain extent, we can set our kids up as well. And potentially, if we're really savvy, set their kids up, maybe.
It's always interesting. A lot of Kiwis talk about travelling, right? That they want to get to retirement and they want to go overseas. What is it that you hope to get from travel? Why is travel so important to you?
I think it's the experiences. Like we did travel when we were in our late 20s quite a bit, but there's so much left in the world to see and experience. And New Zealand's quite far away from a lot of those things. So having the money to be able to choose to do that, and also to, I suppose, not have to do it on the, you know, bones of our backside to get there, to actually have the money to, hey, if we want to go and do something extravagant, we can, without even thinking about it.
And what about for you, Harish? Why is that travel so important to you?
Time with Helena and the kids and experience. I guess you sort of, when you're traveling, you're not tied to a timetable or you know, things that are mundane. You get to experience something that you keep in your memory. right? Some of the most fondest memories of my childhood is with my parents traveling up and down New Zealand, right? We weren't lucky enough to travel overseas, but when we did travel, we traveled around New Zealand. Those are some of the most fondest memories that I have of growing up. And so I want to do the same for my kids and the time I have with Helena.
Yeah, it's funny when you're talking about travel and how it's about the experiences. I was thinking there's so many experiences that we have at home, but the problem is most of the time we're working. And so there's kind of not that time to be able to do the things that we want to do and actually just switch off from the 9 to 5 plus.
The amazing thing is with a lot of investors that we work with, they all want the same thing, which it comes back to time, it comes back to memories. And I really liked what you were saying, Helena, about you're wanting to get out and see what the world has to offer. And really those three things are pretty much the reasons why a lot of people invest. What they hope to get out of it 10, 15, 20 years in the future is that freedom away from work to create the memories, spend the time, and see what is out there in the big wide world that is so far away from where we live. And last question for you guys, what advice do you have for other listeners of the show?
Just to start, like it's a big jump, but not every time is going to be the best time and you never know when that's going to be. So just start, get a good team around you. Dealing with you guys at OPS has been really good. It's made the journey less stressful, which has been awesome. And I think just don't expect for the journey to be perfect either. Like there are going to be ups and downs, you know, like Harish did with our spreadsheet, you know, factor in the potential for high interest rates and the unexpected so that when it does happen, you're not blown sideways on it.
Yeah. And I was going to say, learn. There's no dumb questions. There's nothing stupid to ask, right? You just got to go out there, learn along. Mistakes will happen. But again, as long as you keep learning from them, you won't do them again, right? So, and yeah, don't be afraid.
Fantastic. Let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. It's so good to have some more North Islanders on the show as well. If you want to join us, like Helena and Harish, we'd love to have you on the show, especially if you live in the North Island. I love you South Islanders too, but we've had a lot of you guys, especially from Invercargill recently. Hit me up. My email is ed@opuspartners.co.nz. It'd be great to have you guys on. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.